Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Time for our weekly social media update. Let's say hi to Scott Kleinberg, social media strategist. What's going on, Scott? How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good, Bob. How are you doing?
All right. And I know you have more information about where we're getting our news when it comes to Facebook.
Yep. Yes, I do. So last week, you remember, we talked about a separate study that said that people were relying on Facebook for coronavirus updates 2-1 over the next most popular source, which is Twitter. Now, Facebook on its own, through, they have this engagement division, it's called CrowdTangle, and they put together all these analytics. They released a report of their own, and they found, and it's kind of unsurprisingly, that people are sharing more local content than they did before the pandemic. But in this particular study, rather than looking at how people are using it, they're looking at the performance of more than 2,000 local news companies to see how they're actually using it, how people are feeling about that. So some of the things they found, local news pages doubled growth in the second half of March. And, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. If you can double your growth, that's just an amazing accomplishment. Facebook Live had the highest percentage of overperforming posts. They count posts as underperforming and overperforming, meaning the ones that would normally do well versus the ones that aren't doing well. So overperforming is exactly where you want to be. And they found things like TV stations using Facebook Live for checking in on area residents or holding Q&As with community leaders to provide information. So, you know, it's a matter of sitting around a conference room table. This is how I always used to do it. Sitting around a conference room table at the newsroom and thinking, you know, what can we do most for the community and what social channel is going to have the most reach? And in this case, it makes perfect sense that in that case, it's Facebook. And the other thing that they're finding is that people are interacting with neighborhood stories the most, the things that are the most local. They still need to know what's going on nationally, but what's happening right down to their street level really matters the most.
Yeah, well, it makes sense that more people are online on Facebook, and Facebook is working on something new to bring communities together. And this, I haven't heard much about this. What's this all about?
Yeah, this is one of those weird things that's flying under the radar. Facebook launches new platforms all the time. There are these menus on Facebook that if you don't know where to go, you'd never actually see them. So what they're launching here, it's in a testing phase right now, but it's called Community Help. And it's where people can actually go to offer assistance to others within their community or request help for, with tasks that people need, you know, that are nearby. And, you know, a demand for assistance is definitely up with everything that's going on. So this is a hub within Facebook, within a separate menu, where you can go and you can say, I'm someone in the neighborhood who needs to have my groceries delivered because I can't get out and about. Or I'm available to tutor students who might need help with math or English, that kind of stuff. Maybe there's food supplies, blood donations, other kinds of volunteers. You know, so this is something that is spreading all around. But here's the thing. You don't normally, just like what you just said, you haven't heard much about it. And most people don't think about going to Facebook for that, even if the numbers say otherwise. I mean, there's nearly 3 billion active users on Facebook, but that doesn't mean that everybody knows everything on Facebook because it's such a huge thing. So, you know, they may read something that a friend posted and react, but this is a completely separate thing that you would do normally on something like Nextdoor or Patch. And the thing here is Facebook is totally aware of that. Nextdoor, which is a separate app and a website, has seen 7 times the engagement for neighborhood posts since the pandemic began. I check all of these sites all the time. 7 times is huge, even if your audience is a lot smaller than 3 billion. But Facebook isn't happy with that. Facebook wants to be the leader in bringing people together. That's always been CEO Mark Zuckerberg's goal. You know, keep people on Facebook. Don't give them any reason to go off. And I think that that is a very lofty goal on an average day. Time is going to be able to tell what actually happens here. But this is an area, I think, where Facebook size hinders, because coming back again to what you just said, you haven't heard much about it, and you're not the only one that hasn't.
So if you want to see this community help feature on Facebook, how do you do that?
So twofold thing here. You have to actually have it. They're rolling it out to people in testing phases. But if you wanted to see it on your desktop or on your mobile device, you have that little menu thing that looks like the hamburger, the three lines. Mm-hmm. If you go under there, you'll find a list of all of these things that Facebook has. And I'll tell you what, even if you don't have this community help thing yet, go under that menu every once in a while and just look at what's there. You've never seen half of this stuff, and that's the problem. I don't necessarily know what they need to do to make it so people know it's there, but most of these things go under the radar for such a long time, it'll surprise you.
Interesting stuff. Scott, what is Twitter working on to make sure the content on their site is what we need to see?
They're working on warnings, and actually, Bob, this was announced yesterday, so we haven't seen it yet in the real world, but basically, Twitter is saying that it's going to warn users when a tweet contains disputed or misleading information about the coronavirus. Now, they're going to take a case-by-case approach to decide which tweets are labeled, and they're only going to remove posts that are harmful. They're more interested, instead of actually removing posts, they're a lot more interested in providing links that send you to correct information. Twitter has always had this problem with taking down people's posts, so they're trying to work around that. So they say that they're not going to directly fact check or call tweets false on the site. The warning labels might say, this person has this opinion, but you might want to read this instead from the CDC or something like that. So it's going to link to a Twitter curated page or source that basically says, this is the additional information. So here's what's in the tweet. Here's what we actually know. Here's what you might want to share, that type of thing, because they're trying to make it so people don't share the most misleading information. So their goal is to make sure that if a public health official has said one thing, that you're not just seeing one side of it. But the thing that they do point out is that false or misleading content takes on many different forms. So they're going to group it into three different things. They're going to call it misleading information, disputed claims, and unverified claims. The things that are the most egregious are going to be the things that stand the potential to be removed. That's going to be few and far between, but that's going to be all those crazy things that just have no basis in fact. But other things are going to be on a case-by-case basis. So when it comes to things that are said by elected officials, things that we know to be false, but Twitter doesn't want to necessarily take that down, they'll put a link and say, here is some other information. So it's going to be interesting to see how they can actually pull it off.
So they're going to label these things. How will they identify certain tweets?
Well, that's the thing. They're going to be using internal systems, and they're going to be using algorithms, so a lot of machine-based things. And the problem with that is a lot of different websites and social platforms are trying to do the similar thing. They don't always work. Now, they're also going to be using reports, or so they say. They'll be using reports from people to say that this is false. But right now, Twitter doesn't have a method for you to actually click and say this is false information related to COVID-19. I was trying to find out yesterday if that's something that they may add. I haven't been able to find that out yet. I've been really pushing for that, so I'm kind of hoping that that's the case, but they're going to rely on their trusted partners, so people like the CDC and the World Health Organization, to find out, is this true or is this not true. They don't want to be the ones to make the decision that something is true or false. They always want to rely on someone else, so that'll be interesting. And then as things go, they're going to prioritize how this whole thing works, because it's happening in real time, and that's the thing that's so interesting. It's perfect for Twitter, but at the same time, it's dangerous for Twitter that it's happening in real time.
Yeah, for sure. When I heard about this new thing Twitter was doing, I thought, well, this seems like a good idea, because we've all wished for a button that, after we send something, allows us to, well, the feature should be called, are you sure you want to send this? So we get a second chance. So when I first heard about what Twitter's doing, I thought, well, this sounds like what we've been longing for here. But I know you're not necessarily all in on this new idea. Tell us what this is.
No, I am definitely not in on this. So Twitter, it's a new feature. It's a test right now, and it's basically what you said. It's a chance to reword a potentially offensive reply before you post it. So it's a short message that's going to appear. If their machine learning, their algorithm, says that what you said could be what you want to tweet, could probably be said in a better way. So if it's containing words that you shouldn't share or language associated with harassment, it'll say, do you want to reconsider expressing this in a more diplomatic way? Their quote is, when things get heated, you may say something you don't mean. So to let you rethink a reply, this limited experiment will let you revise what you're trying to say before you say it. And I get it. The move comes because, you know, they want to get rid of abuse and bullying on Twitter. But the problem with that is I've been vocal about this ever since the company launched, you know, 12 years ago, 13 years ago. And that ship has sailed. The time for diplomacy, you know, that was 10 years ago. I think I actually talked with you years ago about something that I wrote about in the Tribune. I called it the grandma test. And I said, don't post something on social media if you wouldn't say it to your grandma.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I mean, I still stand by it. Even though Twitter has changed so much where no one keeps that in mind anymore, you know, I still stand by that. And this version of what Twitter is trying to do, I mean, more power to them for trying, but this does anything to avoid a confrontation. And confrontation means sometimes taking down tweets. And Twitter has said, just like in the last example with COVID-19, they don't want to be the ones to take down the tweets. But if you have a platform and you're trying to get rid of abuse and bullying, there's absolutely no way you can succeed in that if you don't take down tweets. You can't rely on other people to tell you that tweets are bad, and you can't force someone to say something they don't mean, because if this pop-up comes up and says, are you sure you want to send this tweet, most likely you're going to say, yes, this is exactly what I want to say, not, oh, I'm so sorry I did that, I shouldn't be thinking this way. It just, I mean, I understand what they're trying to do, it's just not the right place to start.
Yeah, but what's the harm? I know you say it's a little too late here, but what's the harm in maybe forcing somebody to second guess what they tweet?
I don't think there's harm in terms of if it gets a few people to change their mind for that particular tweet, okay, then we have one less thing that's available online that maybe, you know, shouldn't be online. But at the end of the day, if this is what you're going to rely on to get rid of abuse and bullying, you're leaving it up to the people to decide not to be the abusers and the bulliers. And I think that that's noble in terms of wanting to actually put the decision in their hands. But with so many tweets coming through and so many different accounts, and the fact that this is just a test where not everybody is going to see this, you're still going to have so much of this abuse on the platform. If they really want to take it off, what they need to do is they need to have groups of people, I think, who are in charge of certain types of tweets, and they need to be really ruthless. And they need to say, you know, this has no place on Twitter, and they actually need to come down. And that's been a very, very big sticking point when it comes to Twitter. They don't want to go that far, yet they say they need to go that far. So I don't know how they actually get to where they need to go. But I would say, to answer your question, if you get this test and you have the opportunity to change your mind and to say something that might make more sense, I don't think there's any harm in that.
You know what Apple needs to do? They need to add something to the home button on the iPhone that measures your blood pressure. So they know if your blood pressure is way up and you're sending a tweet or an email or posting anything, it can determine that you have high blood pressure. So the phone will automatically flash a message that says, you're a little stressed now. Are you sure you want to send that? That's what we need.
You know, I will tell you this, Bob. I don't have any inside information, but mark my words. 3 years from now, when we're having a conversation, your iPhone won't do that, but you know what will? Your Apple Watch will. One day, your Apple Watch, the band around your wrist, is going to take your blood pressure. Mark my words.
Yeah. No, I believe it. As I believe everything that Scott Kleinberg forecasts in social media. Talk to you next week. Thank you, Scott.
Take care, Bob.
You too.